Well, we are looking at Asa, king of Judah. Asa, king of Judah. You would see there, I said, undealt with sin. Undealt with sin. But this might be a little bit confusing to you, undealt with sins. What does that mean? Because we see a reverse here. We got, stories of failures of from these kings, the previous kings, Abijah and Rehoboam, and everybody in the family is falling in the same footsteps of their father. And the reasons here, we have these people, they have not repented of their sins. They have continued to lead God's people in the wrong ways. The kings, these kings were not faithful. They were not really dealing with the matters, with the things that really were not pleasing in God's sight. They were not sensitive enough to the covenants that God has made with them. But here we have a different history altogether. Suddenly, out of blue, we have a king from the same family who was different. Things were persistent, isn't it? Like, bad, bad, bad. And I think even in our days as Christians, I can challenge you all that what we see around us, we don't expect one morning we get up and we see revival in Melbourne, isn't it? We don't expect that to happen. So, but we have just a little bit of idea that we know the character of our God, that whenever He chooses to do that, He can do it, isn't it? But to be immediate and to be really like that, like what we heard from Art today, that there is revival in their towns there and back in Thailand. Here, there's something like that out of a blue and in the midst of difficulties and darkness, and where God's people were not expecting that they will have a godly king, and then suddenly God in His mercy. Really coming. Before I talk about why they are having a revival here, why Asa reforms here, why there is blessings, so it's not for a short time, for a long time. And our experience might be we have been living through these difficulties for so long, isn't it? And we are tired of really struggling every day against the force of darkness. And the communities around us not turning to God and not no respect for God and fear for God and no heart for the gospel, you see. Just like that, we can be really discouraged. You see, well, but if we look to the Word of God, God is faithful. So he works mysteriously and graciously. He turned things around, certainly here, for the people of Israel, in Judah especially, by giving them a God-fearing king. Well, the transition from this to that for us to happen, it's all that we need faith. We need faith to believe in the character of our God, that God can really do something like this. And we need to hold to this and pray for this, that we have a turning of affairs, turning of things, turning of the events, that that will be favorable for us to live and revival, and to know the presence of our God, and to have the beauty of the Word of God, because in revival, that is what happens. In revival, God opens up really our hearts and opens up His Word to us. And because, as Art was sharing, the Word washes us, cleanses us, and builds us up. And you see, and we will be like, not in the defense, but we will be attacking. You see, but it seemed to me that now we are just defending, you see, the truth. And we are really finding it so hard to permeate our society with the gospel. And so the tendency is for us to lose sight and to lose hope. But may this story be very encouraging. And I see why the people of Judah, now they are having this revival. Because this king, this is what happens with this king. And we are given his background in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, in the north. Asa became king of Judah in the south, and he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. So 41 years of blessings. You see, 41 years of blessings, because this king, we are told that his grandmother,
His grandmother's name was Maaka, daughter of Abishalom. And that is the very mother of Abijam, you know, Abijah from last week. So this boy, he grew up in that house where his father was not godly. What is that saying to us? When the Holy Spirit comes, really, he can snatch even your child if you are not really a believer. That is the experience we had in Sudan and South Sudan and even Egypt. You find young people getting converted in their homes where there are no Christian witness, you see, in their home. God is able to do that. And so this man, King Asa, we can dwell on this, and I'm planning to come back to this text again, because we cannot just go over this. There's something here that we can learn on to usher in a revival, to take part in the revival that God is going to do. Learning from this, how can we be instruments in God's hand, really, for the blessings of our people, and also to bring revival even in our time today. There's nothing impossible for God. You see, a one-night walk in prayer maybe can trigger a revival. Men of God in the past, they prayed. You see, one man praying, one woman praying, things can change as well. Our God is God of justice, isn't it? He will treat us as our hearts really are turned to Him. And so this is very important, that we look into these things really seriously. And not to live in unbelief and just like, and to see the status quo as to continue and really persist. No. We are to open our hearts to God and just really expect great things from Him. Like the people of Judah, really. They expected this. And God was merciful to them. Even during the reign of this guy, Abijah, he reigned only 3 years and he did evil in the sight of God. But for this man, even they mention his grandmother's name, but he was going to break away from that. He was going to be different. You see, why the Holy Spirit mentioned his, even his grandmother? The Holy Spirit is saying it's possible that we can break away from things that are not of God. And God in His grace, He can lay on our hearts really to stand, really, to stand out and come out from practices that are of evil, even if our families are involved in practices that are not pleasing to God. His grandmother's name was Maaka, daughter of Abishalom. And actually, Second Chronicles really brings this really brings it out clearly. Yes? No, she wasn't. She was not godly, but he was. She was not godly, and she's coming from the foreigners, the nations around them. And if I can trace it back, maybe Edomites, if not, I don't have it here, but she is not certainly from the people of God. And because that is a thing, and that is going back to Solomon, because his grandmother is the wife of Solomon, and I can find it. It's because Solomon took a lot of wives from the nations around them, so that is his heritage, and that was what really caused Solomon to be a sinner and to fail completely. That is the thing. Solomon took foreign wives, and those one became a snare to him. But the most important things for us here is the breaking away from his heritage. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father's David had done. And now you see he is being associated with David. So here David this man of God, even the Bible would say that he was right with God except the sin that he committed with Uriah's wife. That is what the Bible says. But we have Psalm 51. He dealt with that sin, isn't it? He confessed that sin before God. And that is the challenge here. Because David really looked to Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ, we will be perfect, his sacrifice. And so even David really, in his walk with God, he was as if knowing that there is forgiveness, and he knows this. There will be forgiveness that will not be counted against him, and that is why God went on to bless people on his account, because he dealt with these sins. He confessed these sins. And so that is why I said undealt with sin. But so he dealt with that sin, and this boy, he came also, this young man, Asa, he came and he dealt with these sins. And what did he do? By doing the right things. When he was doing the right things, he was actively involved in removing the things that were horrible before God. That was what he did. Chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles says, "And Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Asa his son succeeded him as king. And in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. That is a result of him dealing with sin there. So, and then now we do have the explanation why the country lived like for many years in peace, no wars. So the country was at peace for 10 years. You see, here we are told, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. You see, so the God of Israel, that was his God. He was committed to God. He was in fellowship with God. He was doing these things in fear of God. And then he went on to say, he removed the foreign altars. The altars that were not really, they were foreigns in terms of gods, idols. He removed them. He removed them from the people. And the high places is matched, the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. So these poles in certain countries, even in South Sudan, you find them there. Those who were not Christian, they have poles and things like that. But Asa, he came and he removed these things. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers. You see, he urged the whole community. As a leader, he uses his authority really to call them to repentance. And that is very important. And so the blessings on the account of his actions and his fear of God and encouragement of people, just giving us an example to follow. So the undealt with sins and things that are there, pointing to unbelief and foreign gods and idolatry of any kinds, God will not command blessings. And so he went on, he removed all these places in every town in Judah, in every town. So he had this opportunity in his hand. And I think this is a challenge for people who are leaders, isn't it? When leaders are given opportunity to lead, and if they have God, they fear God in their hearts, they can encourage people to walk in good path. They can be a source of blessings for their own people. Because God is God of order. And the trouble is like when leaders themselves really go astray and not fear God. Of course, if you don't fear God, how can you encourage other people to fear God? You won't be able to do that. Even in our homes, you see, with our children, if we are not at rest, they can never be at rest, isn't it? So we need to rest first. And yesterday, to give you an example, we had four pastors at a panel. So they have experience like 36 years in ministry, and they were asking them all sorts of questions. And one of the things was like, one pastor was saying he was really angry. He was just like, really, the first 7 years. And then so he was like trying to pray for God to change the congregation. So he was really struggling. And then the Lord says, well, maybe God changed the pastors, the pastor of the people. You see, yeah, the people's pastor changed him. And so God changed him, and then people changed. You see, so he said to him, to ask all that, the problem was him. You see, well, Asa knew that if he continued in those ways, people will continue worshipping idols. But he had to lead the way himself. He had to repent and had to seek the Lord God himself, and then will encourage others to seek God. You see, and maybe God's people in a setting like this, maybe if a pastor is going astray, maybe you pray, God, change our pastor. You see, change him. You see, cause him to fear God, because you won't get anywhere. You will be discouraged. But this man, all that he did, he was like doing really a work of revival. They call it Asa revival. You see, so in biblical terms. So that is what he did. He dealt with what really would hinder. And maybe we need to take time too. Maybe sometimes it's good to not to go over things quickly, isn't it? Because the problem now, modern days, we tend to go over things really very quick. We need to move on. But if we spend time dealing with the roots of things, and then we will go further, isn't it? Things will be better. So it's good that we see the cause of problems. And Asa really, he looked at the things. You see, and even in our spiritual walk, if we are struggling and not really flowing with the Lord and finding ourselves in battles, you see, all the time, then we need to slow down. Maybe there's a root of bitterness in our hearts. And unthankfulness also can cause troubles, you see, in our lives, and can hinder the blessings from God. But this man, really, he was right with the Lord, and he was given success in removing these things as a leader, and he had a following. The people followed him. And there they were behind him in building. He built up the fortified cities of Judah to protect them in the future. For those who may change their mind want to wage war against them. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. You see, well, you see here rest as an exchange for obedience. You see, obedience, there will be rest. In dealing with foreign things that are really coming even to ruin our relationship with Christ, we are to deal with these things and remove them from our hearts, to deal with all these sins that would hinder, really. And might be the sins of a people also, but not our sins. Maybe we are throwing ourselves into fellowship with people who really are not of a help to us. We spend more time with these people who have no Holy Spirit. Or we engage in debates that are not helpful. You see? And it's just like, that is the thing. So we are our problems ourselves by not exploring the best ways really to conquer and to please our God. Just having vibrant prayer meetings, like fervent prayer meetings, and or even like loving one another from the heart and serving one another really diligently from the heart. And so these things really can release us into reformation. Because we need to do this thing to lay the foundation first before God could just take us even further. To have a real revival and reformation, we need, I sense in my spirit, we need to deal with things. Maybe we please men more than God. This can stay on the way as well. We have unbelief, not believing in the supernatural and the miracles, or not delighting in the character of our God. You see, maybe we just want him to answer our prayers and just quickly so that we are nice. But we see peace is given here and rest because Asa really removed, dissociated himself. Even he removed, the Bible says, he removed the queen mother from her privileges because she's a source of sin and Satan. He did that. He was not really politically correct. She was not just like supporting the family and like trying to keep the image of the family before people. No, if the family are against the Lord, he really stood against them. So we have a work to do here. We have a work to do and pray and cry out to the Lord. Please show us why this is happening. Because we read that the word of God is sharp, like double-edged sword. It's able really to cut through and bring salvation and deliverance. Why is not happening? So we need to do our homework. We need to certainly to fast and pray and seek the Lord. Certainly this man, he took his steps. And as a result, really God released his blessings and gave them rest. And you know, enemies from within and outside, from outside, they were kept at bay. The spiritual oppression is removed within the company of the people. These idols, symbols, and then the engagement in idol worship, they can bring really unrest, because these are demons. They distort people thinking and pollute their minds and hearts. And of course, this comes with other immoral practices, because these idols and worshippers is just through unclean, and comes with all sorts of bondages and unclean practices. And so God can just purify the work of his own people by giving them freedom and holiness there, and also protecting them from the enemy from outside, giving them peace not to be attacked by others. So you see this today, some nations, they are living considerably in peace. Even in Australia, even they are shooting and things like that, but you don't have an organized war that is going on like now is going on in South Sudan. You see, so having wars, things like that, as symbols of like you have been open up to your enemies, no matter what they are. But maybe if we don't have this war from outside, but we have idols, maybe, so we can never have rest. So my prayer is today that we look into those things. And this gives us an opportunity for us to take this week and just look at this text again. And in our prayers this week, let us pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the thing that can help us really to prevail and to please our God, and things that we need to deal with, whether it's our times in we give to the Lord in our quiet times and reading of the Word, and because that shows our devotion, isn't it? That really shows the state of our hearts, how great we are devoted to our God, and finding ways. Sometimes we come to read the Bible very late at night, and we can never get anything from there. We are tired. I need to get back into that habit. Many years ago, I make sure that even for around 6:30, the first thing I do my devotion before I could do something different, you see. And then later on, even if you want to pray again, you can do a short prayer. But the most important thing is if you have a portion that you are reading in the Bible, in Scripture, you see, and read it even like shortly after dinner, or even before dinner. As a family, or even with your wife. So just have time and pray constantly, because entering into the presence of God constantly keeps the hand of the enemy away, you see. So we keep that pattern, and so that is engagement. We can have a breakthrough. We all need to encourage one another to do this, and then God will reveal things to us, really the thing that we need to face and we need to deal with. If there are idols in our lives, God will just remove them and give us opportunity. I promise. I want to come back to this text, and we want to talk more about this, because this is unusual. Out of blue, we have a godly king. You see, what can we take out from this place? God can do anything. Even tomorrow, we can experience good things from God. You see, and we can be changed as well, even if our past really was not that great, like his grandmother, isn't it? Even if we were struggling, we can rise. So my encouragement to you tonight is, Asa is unusual. He was so courageous to take steps that was going to be a blessing to the people. And as leaders ourselves, so we need to look into his reforms as a way to really bring about revitalization. We go to revitalization courses. And so, and that is why this guy, he said, now and where and not telling us how. Because he was saying, you assess your situation as a church, and then you know where the Lord would want you to be or what he wants you to do, but how you do that. And so maybe a way for us to go where the Lord would want us to be, of course, he wants us to be only be blessed. And so maybe how to do that, maybe we need to do our homework here. We need to pray, we need to discern, we need to remove really places or strongholds, and we need to dissociate ourselves with things that are not of God and the people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. I find this very fascinating. You see, because with the very thing that we love and they look so good, they might be the very problems that is stopping us from flowing with Jesus Christ. That is really a challenge. That is a challenge. Even the people who want to see first. I do have a relative that is not really honoring Jesus. He doesn't really believe in Jesus. And he associates himself with really false God. And yet he's a very warm-hearted man, a very kind and good man, in a sense that he is kind. But he is so full of darkness. You see, so if you talk to this man 5 times a week or 4 times a week, or you see him 3 times a week and you have this strong association with, so what do you expect? Darkness. Darkness. So these things, and but like really to just push him away and say you it's not your relative also requires courage. Yeah, so these are things, you see, we need to look into it. So I just don't want to drag it, but may the Lord really encourage us to have faith and to see the fact that we don't have to go by sight, but by faith. Asa was a gift from God for his own people. And he did the right thing. And the benefit was that they had rest. You see, God really gave them rest. Gave them clean worship, true worship, by the removal of all these things. And he encouraged them to seek the Lord their God for themselves. Because the Lord is his God. He said, he followed his God. And now he knows that he's the God of Israel. You see, and you people, God loves you. And you can have a relationship with your God. He loves you and you are special in his sight. You are his own, you see. So he called you out of Egypt and out of other nations to be his very own, to display his glory. Seek him and you will be an instrument of blessings for Israel. You see, and that is the same thing for us all. When one person is encouraged and so on fire and can pray for us all and be a blessing to us all. And you see, so and then he encouraged us also to seek the Lord that he found. You see, that is why we share these testimonies, encouraging one another to follow the Lord, because all of us, we can get there. Yeah, let me pray.